Okay, thanks again for joining. Continuing the saga of addiction and redemption. Again, my name's Dave Keenest. It's kind of funny because I record these episodes like several at a time, like three or four at a time. And so I say the same thing at the beginning of every episode. But it's like super, super repetitive in my head because I'm just like banging out episodes when I get inspired. So I don't know how it sounds to you. But anyway, Dave Keenest of Keenest Coaching. Many of you know what I do for a living, professional life coach. What the fuck is life coaching? Hit me up and find out, dave@davekeenest.com. But we're not really here to talk about life coaching. We're here to talk about addiction and redemption. By the way, I got Toastmasters in my brain. I'm not to be a perfectionist, because being a perfectionist will prevent you from doing anything. It's this like magical, snooty form of procrastination. It's like perfectionism is the snotty form of procrastination, and procrastination often has a lot to do with perfectionism. And if I was worried about doing this perfect, I wouldn't be doing anything. So, but I'm at the same time, I'm trying to watch my use of the words because they're just kind of leaky words. But I at the same time, I don't want to sell out on my authenticity. And if I was too focused on trying to speak perfectly, this thing just, it never would have happened. So ask yourself if there's anything you're trying to get perfect before you release it, and then just freaking do it anyway. Tony Robbins, he just says, act, take massive action. Just go do a bunch of scary shit, freak yourself out, live on the edge of your comfort zone, and then watch what happens. I got to start like just a motivational speaking podcast. Podcasts are so fun. If you're inspired to start one, just start blabbering into your phone or your, I have a microphone and I use GarageBand, but you can really just talk right into your phone and that's enough. You can download like an app that just records. But anyway, do that thing that you've been meaning to do. Don't put it off any longer, because once you start generating something new in your life will take on new meaning. And that's kind of what's happening with this. So I left off the last episode. I got back from Japan. I basically woke up out of a blackout back in Chicago after I'd woke up out of a blackout in Japan, and was just like, what just happened? Like, what do I do now? And the only thing to do from that place, when I'm not aware of the options for recovery that are available to me, I just go back to the west side of Chicago, and I just start doing dope again. And I remember I drove down there in my truck, and I went to the normal spot, and this dude walks up and he goes, "Yo, man, this shit's the bomb." And I was like, "Cool, it's the bomb." And I'm just gonna keep talking. So I got this stuff, and it was just so good. But something up leveled from here. Like, I was buying two bags at a time before I left for Japan, and now I think I'm buying three or four bags. And so to get going, I'm just automatically doing like a full bag or maybe two bags, as opposed to like a half a bag or three quarters of a bag with a little bit left over. And they're not really bags either. They're these little tin foil square things. It's like folded up in a little square piece of tinfoil about half the size of a dime. It's called a blow. And so I'm doing like one to two blows now just to get going. And I'm still feeling really good, and I'm making a lot of light out of the situation. And it was so fun to just get high and then just cruise around the city. And sometimes I just hang out on the west side and like go to like barbecue places and just hang out and like make friends with people. It was just so weird. It was almost like when you got high, you just got this immunity. As soon as the dope hit, like all your cares just wore away or went away. And it was working for a little bit, you know. It was like, I was kind of like happy again, but I don't think I was working. Actually, no, that's not true. I actually got this job then. I went and got a job selling boxes of meat door to door. So boxes of steak. So what you do is you go and you go to this warehouse and you pick up these boxes of meat and you fill up your car with these boxes of like not so good steak. It's like not the best quality steak at all. But you go fill up your car with these boxes of steak packed in dry ice, and then you drive around neighborhoods and you knock on doors and you go, "Hey, you like steak, right?" When they go yes, you like don't even look at them. You just turn around and run to your car and grab a box of steak and then bring it to their door and sell them the box of steak. And if you can sell them the box of steak, you get $100. I think it was $200 for a box of steak. And if you sold the box for $200, you got to keep $100. And I really wasn't good at this. I'm just not a very good salesman at all. I mean, I'm okay if I had to do some phone sales. I can do it just by sheer hard work, by just the numbers. But you got to figure I'm a junkie trying to sell meat to support his habit. So maybe that had something to do with it, much less like the fact that I didn't believe in the product at all. I thought it was kind of crappy meat. And so I'm like trying to like drive around and sell these boxes of meat all over the Chicagoland area. But I didn't have to be at work until like 10 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And so I would be able to wake up with the money that I had from the previous day and go down to the city and get my stuff and then show up at work nice and high and get the meat and go and hopefully sell the meat and then just continue to feed my habit. And it was funny because I was selling meat before I left Colorado. The meat in Colorado was of a higher quality than this meat, but it just wasn't working with me. It just didn't vibe with me really professionally. Not that anything was really vibing with me at this point, except the dope, but it just, what started to happen was I all of a sudden needed four bags of dope to keep going. And it became this necessity. And on top of that, the high started to not be as good. It started to all of a sudden not be as fun. And I think one of the things that the dealers do at the spots is that when they see a new customer, they come up. When they see a new customer show up for the first time, they give him a lot better stuff. And when they see the customer return over the course of like a few months, they give worse stuff out. And I think that that's just a business strategy for them. It's actually a solid business strategy. Get them hooked on something good and then sell them something shitty. And once that they know you're hooked, they know you'll buy anything so long as it's got something in it. But I was starting to not be as enlivened by it. So you got to figure by now it's like June of 2006, and I had started using this stuff in like January or February. So it's been like 6 months now, and that's kind of how the first 6 months of heroin use goes. It's you're kind of awake and alert and up and kind of ready to go and face the day. And then as time wears on, you just become more and more useless. And what was happening is I was starting to become really, really useless, or more and more useless rather. So it was kind of like more of a grind. And when I first started using, I tell you what, when I first started using this stuff, if you'd given me a box of meat, I could have sold it to anybody. And now here it is 6 months in and I got like a real habit and I've had some really crazy shit happen now. Thank God there's no legal consequences that have happened yet. But I'm trying to sell this meat and I'm trying to stay high and it's just not quite working. And I'm also like drinking when I'm done with my shift. And the shifts were long. I mean, they went until late in the night. And these guys were like rock star salesmen. Some of these guys that sold this meat, they were like badasses at it. And I just wasn't that good. But I would always like sell my part. And I just couldn't keep up with the Jones, though. I could not keep up with the habit. It was like for the first time the habit started getting in front of me. It was like the habit, chasing the dragon, that phrase that people use to describe heroin use. I started really chasing the dragon. And I think what that means is that the dragon is like, it's something ahead of you that you'll never catch. You'll never be able to catch that first high. You'll never be able to catch that first few months. You'll never be able to catch the magic of what it was like in the very beginning. And that's the devil just doing his thing. And that's, you start to chase that dragon. And I think what that means also, or I've always kind of interpreted it this way, that if you actually do catch that dragon, then you'll die. There's a lot of people die when they finally catch the dragon again. But I'm starting at this point to chase that dragon, and it's just not, it's really starting to not work. This habit is starting to just fail me, and I'm starting to need this shit every single day, and not just one or two bags. Now I need like four bags every day, so now it's like a $40 a day habit. And I remember starting to think, like, start to have really delusional thoughts, like, okay, well, if I can keep my shit together long enough, I could get it. I could get a job teaching again in Chicago, and that would pay me like $50,000 or $60,000 a year, and I could take the $50,000 or $60,000 a year and use $20,000 or $30,000 of it, $40 a day to, you know, buy dope and stay high and just be high all the time like Keith Richards. This is what I was actually starting to think. And I started to think that these drug dealers at the spot were like my friends because I knew them and they kind of knew me. And so I'm starting to think that like maybe they cared about me, and they don't. They're not above killing me. I mean, some of them are nice guys with good hearts, and some of them are just cold hard sociopaths. I would particularly think that the people who are higher up in the gangs, but it's just this life of delusion is really, it's the delusion of heroin is really starting to set in, and so is the need. I'm starting to just get more and more needy with this stuff and just more and more dependent on it. And as if my happiness wasn't already dependent on it, but like now it's like my existence is starting to become dependent on it. And I'm getting less and less high every day. Like, it's like I'm doing the same amount and it's not working. It's like that Guns N' Roses song, Mr. Brownstone. I used to do a little, but a little wouldn't do it, so a little became more and more. It was just like that, and I was really starting to dance with Mr. Brownstone. I think that's what that song is about, actually, is heroin. I might be wrong, but... So I'm just selling less meat and needing more heroin. And this is like mid-June, and the 4th of July is right around the corner, and it's hot in Chicago, and I'm like living with my parents, and I'm just really just going nowhere. Like, my life is just going absolutely nowhere. And it's really just going to hell. But there's sort of like some semblance of smiling left, and there's like some semblance of normalcy. And this is all supported by dope, mind you. But there's like, it hasn't gotten into the wretched phase of it yet. It's still like I'm dancing on thin ice or something. I haven't fallen through, but I know how thin the ice is, and I'm out there anyway. That's not the perfect analogy, but it's something like that. But I haven't gotten to like the deadly phase of it, even though it was technically deadly. But there's still this semblance of I kind of sort of maybe have it together, possibly, maybe. And the summer progressed, and the 4th of July, like I said, is getting closer, and I'm going to talk about what happened there in the next episode. But thanks again for listening, and again, this has been Addiction and Redemption, and I will continue with the story very soon. My name is Dave Keenest. Hit me up if you'd like. Talk to you soon. Bye.